Splinters of Jade grapples with mature and sensitive topics, which could be triggering for some listeners. There may be scenes involving the themes ranging from alcohol and drug use, suicide, and forced marriages, to violence, horror, and the dehumanization of certain castes, classes, and nations of people. Please see the show notes for episodes of details. Listener discretion is advised.
You are listening to Splinters of Jade, the Legend of the Five Rings role-playing game actual play podcast. I'm your game master, Chris Garvey.
Simply needed to take a break in the river.
Kuni Guru is played by Buell Richardson.
Mom, Dad.
Kitsuki Akira is played by Steve Lanslow Bartolome.
You might have to do a little overtime on this.
Yogo Sojabo is played by Brendan Thorson.
In other words, I'm implying I need somebody right now.
Now on with our show. At the mention of Kappa, you guys have kind of this feeling, a twinge in the void, and it's coming from the river. You look out that way and you see a figure. You know, it's pretty dark, so all you've got in that area is the moonlight shining down, and you can't tell what the figure is out there.
Kuni-sama, I'd recommend grabbing the weapons. We have something out here.
This is not good.
How far are we from the river?
You're probably good 30 yards or so. You know, far enough out that you're not worried about, you know, anything coming out of the river while you're asleep. Close enough that you're able to follow it.
Yeah, and I believe I was closer to the river because I started heading towards it.
Correct.
I will start following our Yogo.
As will I, yes.
As you get closer, you're able to audibly hear the sound of water hitting water, as if somebody's pouring, like, a jug into a pool, or, in this case, a river.
Gee, imagine that.
From my vantage point, what do I see? Does it look like what I know a Kappa to look like, or does it look like something else? Like, maybe another drowned spirit, or another body that...
It looks about human size, so larger than the Kappa.
Could you explain how big Kappas are in this...
I have not, but in here, what I'm going to say is I'm going with the Kyoto design of a Kappa, which is a short, kind of almost toddler size creature. It has the beak of a turtle shell on its back, a little bit of hair around the top of its head, and the top of its head is concave, holding some water.
So this is bigger.
This is adult size. A Kappa would be about child size.
Definitely twice the size of what we would expect a Kappa to be.
I loosen my wakizashi in its sheath, since that's the only weapon I have other than the jitte.
Yeah, grabbed up the jian, still in the sheath.
Put my arms conveniently in my sleeves, where I keep my afuda, and I will call out, "Do you need assistance?"
The water sound suddenly stops. Oh, Samurai-sama! You recognize the voice of one of the peasants that's been walking around with you. I simply needed to take a break in the river. The call of nature.
Freaking Heenan. Don't they know they could piss in the woods, not in the water?
You still have that feeling, though, of something nagging you.
Well, I know I want to make a water check.
I'm going to say, let's work within theology, and this will be a TN3.
TN3 to spot... whatever it is.
And three theology.
All right. Can only get it with an explosion, sadly, because my water ring is 2.
Yeah, if it weren't so dark, it'd be a TN2.
Ooh. Keeping those two, dumping that.
Ooh, nice.
3 explosive successes and an opportunity.
So you see swirling around the feet of the peasant that's in the river, something that almost looks like how you'd picture a snake flowing under the water, how it kind of would raise the water into a bit of a wave. And upon closer inspection, you also notice that this peasant is the same one that had gripped the sword previously.
I will say, run, you fool! And I throw my kunai knife with the trap afuda on it. I'm going to wait for him to move, and then I'm going to throw the afuda at where I see the ripples.
But Chris, all I hear, because my back is turned, I hear Yogo, so say, move, you fool. I'm jumping to the left, spinning around, getting ready to pull my wakizashi in one hand and ready to call the kami with under my breath. What did you call me?
Don't think he was talking to you this time.
I'm trying to shift the peasant away from the whatever it is in the water and capture the water.
Yeah. So I'm going to have it be a TN2.
TN2. That's a miss. It's an opportunity with a strife.
I could have it be narratively you might be able to recover this kunai.
Yeah.
You throw it and it lands short, basically hits a rock and flops over. So it doesn't get to embed into the ground and thus not activate. I'll give Kuni a chance to react. He's spun around. He's gotten himself ready to make an attack, basically. And he has seen Yogo Sojibo throw a kunai and plink off a rock.
So he threw it into the water. What's going on in the water?
All right. Theology water, TN3.
Oh, no. Water's your dump stat.
I will keep this eye because I don't want strife. So I got nada.
Suddenly, a spurt of water, no larger than what you might be able to carry in a gourd, flies from the water and lances into the back of the thigh of the peasant as he's running away from the water.
As I'm noticing this, how deep is the water on?
This is where he was pretty shallow. He was maybe halfway up his calves. The yukata he was wearing wasn't even wet until something pierced through his leg.
Okay, there is something out there.
All right, you two, this is your department.
I'm going to cast the Rushing Wave.
And what's that do?
Basically, I can move him with water. It's water bending. Is he within one right now if I go to the edge of the river?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I go to the edge of the river, and I will try and move him with the spell out of the water. So that is a success. No opportunities can be kept because I only have a keep two on that, so that's two successes and a strife.
So the water from the river washes up, picks him up, and throws him further from the river before the water recedes.
Oh, by the way, this is also a willing target.
He'd have been willing.
I think he wants to get out of the river so that whatever it is doesn't do that again.
Well, as he's closer to you now, the water that lanced his leg comes out of his leg and is slithering through the grasses, pushing them to the side as it's moving very serpent-like and very quickly towards you.
Should we be an initiative at this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's go around the table and tell me your stance and your role. So let's start with Kitsuki Akira.
Yeah, my stance, I was going in air stance. The role I had was two opportunity, three strife, and one success. I think I will keep one opportunity, one success, and two strife. Added to my focus of five, that would be six.
All right. So with the opportunity, you get to discover a disadvantage.
Okay, I'm discovering a disadvantage of the opponent.
Well, I'm going to let you know, they can only be in water stance. Only, ever.
Water elemental. Can only be in water stance. Logical.
All right, let's see what is Kuni.
Kuni Guru. I rolled my earth of three dice. I got a success, an opportunity, and a blank. I think I'll keep the success and the opportunity for a total of five, because I have a focus of four. With my opportunity, because of how much time we had, and I do believe the Yogo has been drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So his disadvantage will not come into play, no matter how much he's been drinking.
All right, that is a pretty good option there.
Instant sober.
That is a spell, by the way.
All right, and our instantly sober Yogo.
Well, I rolled three explosive successes with three strife. I chose to keep one, which rolled another explosive success with strife, but I'm only keeping the one I decided to roll. So I have one success, which will be added to my focus of three, equaling four.
Oh, look. Dragon, crab, scorpion.
Then the bad thing. So, what does our illustrious dragon do as their first turn in combat.
Run to the peasant, pull him up, and say, run, you fool.
Yes, Samurai-sama. All right, we move on to Kunigaru.
I'm armoring myself up with an armor of earth. That will be a TN2 theology earth check. Targeting myself. So currently, I have a success with a strife, an exploding success with a strife, and a blank. Well, let me check that exploding success. What do I get? If I kept the strife, I got another exploding success with a strife. I'm going to see what I get there. Okay, I don't want to keep three strife, so I'm not going to keep that one. But I have 1, 2, 3, 4 successes and 2 strife. So the armor I have, I wish I had opportunity on this, grants me physical resistance equal to my earth ring plus bonus successes. So that is a resistance now of 5.
So basically covered in rock.
With a little bit of grass sticking out here and there.
Come at me, you creature.
All right, and Yogo Sojibo.
So I'm going to use my movement to start backing away from the creature. And I'm going to cast Grasp of Earth. And that's TN2. That is a total of 2 successes and an opportunity. It has to resist with a TN4 fitness check. Air 2, water 5.
All right. Well, it had one explosion in there and a success. So let's see. So ultimately, it took 2 strife, 2 success, and an opportunity, which is not enough.
So the ground kind of comes out as scorpion claws and just kind of grasps it, because I'm also using my opportunity to immobilize it. So it is now immobilized. I'm not sure how that works, but scorpion claws come out and just kind of grasp it.
Those aren't scorpion claws. Those are crab. They're earth.
I don't pay attention to that snide remark, and I keep focus on the enemy like a crab should. Oh, it also takes 3 damage from that, too.
Okay. Spiritual damage, or?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, if I remember right, it should be. So it's sitting there. And it's just flopping around. It's not moving at all. It can't seem to do anything. The peasant is attempting to run away, but stumbles every couple of steps from the large wound in its leg.
Yeah, how close to the base camp are we?
About 30 yards. So, I mean, with your distance from there, it's probably about 25 yards from where you're at.
Okay, so a good bellow could probably get command over there.
So now that I've got a better visual on this thing, can I get a roll to determine what it is?
Yeah, you'd be doing another theology check.
And I can wait for my
and
turn.
And this time, it's going to be an air because you're analyzing it. This will be a TN2.
Yeah, like I said, I can wait for my turn.
It's been captured. You're out of combat.
Currently, since I can keep 2... I'll keep those 2. So I have 8 success and an opportunity. I am going to, on my next martial check, I'm keeping a black die set to an opportunity.
Is there anything either of the two of you, Yogo or Kitsuki?
So did he succeed on his check?
No.
No.
I also would like to, I just want to kill this thing. I mean, Jade Strike this thing.
I was going to yell out, and bring us an empty gourd, loud enough so that the beast camp can hear.
Wants me to do a jade strike. We'll find out if this works. If it is, taint it. May the Kami of the Earth bring up the jade to smite the taint within the creature in front of me. On my dice, I got 4 successes and a strife. So if I succeed, if it's otherworldly, except it's a critical strike, severity, 5. My earth ring plus bonus successes.
So it's going to stay as a debilitating gash. Bill, go ahead and narrate what the spell looks like happens.
So as Kuniguru calls the Kami and brings them forth to attack this creature, the Earth Kami come up, start bringing these fingers of jade up and through the length of it, just piercing the body of this water with jade, hurting because of the taint, being affected by the jade, as the jade starts to blacken as the damage is done to it.
The creature falls to the ground following this, and a face can be seen just barely in the water.
You created me, and you killed me.
So it's very much not moving now.
Well, just like Misa's body from the other day, it just puddles and soaks into the ground.
Kuni, do you mind if we borrow your jade? I will yell to the peasants, bring me some fire, please.
You want to borrow my jade?
It was a Kensin. We should purify the ground before it infects the area. You are a crab. You should know this.
Yes, I do. You do not have to borrow my jade. You ask for me to purify. There's a difference.
One of the Ashigaru walk up holding a stick that had come from the campfire.
All right, Guru-san, how about you do your thing, and I will tend to our peasant over there.
And I will start a ritual to cleanse the ground of taint. TN3 Theology Void.
You might have to do a little overtime on this.
I will start the ritual. Going to take extended time.
Probably should bring the peasant over.
You can cleanse the peasant at the same time?
Yes. I'm going to have our medical Heenan, which I'm sure we have, or some...
Oh, yes.
Oh, I'm sure we do.
I'm going to have him bind the wound, because of what just happened, I'm very afraid to call upon the Kami on this poor peasant.
All right, so the wound is bound, and unlike the hand, is not continuously bleeding. He's been directed to stand near the area where the Kansen fell.
Kuniguru is actually performing this ritual.
And you'll have some time that you can spend. So if you do fail, I will let you keep any successes and do a second roll. It'll just be absorbing more of your time.
I was just about to say, do you have void points?
Yeah, I should. I have one. I am not going to keep that. That will give me one success and an advantage, which it's going to be taking more time. So currently I have one success. Ooh.
Go for it, Buell. Go for it.
Go for it.
Explode both of those.
Yeah. This is going to suck. I have to keep these because I exploded them. So that will get me my three successes. I now have two advantages, and I gain two more strife. And as I finish, everyone can see as I'm going to the right, my fists are starting to clench up. And as I finish, reach up, pound the ground right where the Kami, or where the Kansen impeded, as hard as I can.
And what is your current strife at?
9.
And what is your limit?
8. Which is why I'm pinching the ground. And as he punches the ground, it's like, damn, Consen, I will make sure you never come back ever again. I unmask.
Oh, my.
And now I'm at 0 strife.
You're also a bit worn out. Some Heenan come and assist you back to the camp.
And it's like, go. And I walk to the camp myself.
While he's been busy creating a purified space there, what's Kitsuki and Yogo doing?
I'm going back to the camp, seeing to the peasants and the Heenan, making sure they stay put.
Probably grabbing... So what I do is I kind of go examine the river some more, see if there's anything more out of the ordinary.
As you're standing there, you start hearing kind of this flopping sound, like feet that are too big smacking into the mud.
Oh, that was quite a show.
You turn and see a child-sized creature, hairy all over. In one hand, he's holding a half-eaten fish, and in the other one, he's just kind of dangling down.
So, kind of doing the whole, I don't know if anybody here other than me and probably Chris do read a lot of Rumiko Takahashi's work, but I very much do that stance that she does where it's like on one leg, knee is up and arms are in kind of this crescent moon shape as I look down at the creature and say, "Oh, by the Kami, what are you?"
"You can call me Gan. Everyone calls me Gan."
"Yes, that was quite a show. What are you? What brings you out on this fine night?"
"Fish. I like fish. The rest fish are by the moonlight."
I turn and I look at Kitsuki's, Akira's back, and I'm like, thinking in my head, did he slip me some of his opium in here?
The creature's looking at you with really wide eyes.
"Is that sake?"
"I'm not quite sure."
"Can we share a cup?"
"Do you have one?"
He looks side to side.
"No."
"Neither do I."
He reaches like a small child wanting something and he goes,
I hold it well above him. Still a little freaked about this little creature.
I'll trade you."
"Go on."
"Gan knows things. Gan sees things. Gan tell you. Yeah, you give him a drink."
"So we found a restless spirit down the river. It was of a young girl." And as I'm saying this, I slowly lower the sake towards him.
He quickly snatches it in.
"No, I don't let go until he starts talking."
Many are found in the river. Gan does not eat them. Gan eats fish."
"Do you have any information on how she was made dead?"
"Well, I guess."
And the sake lowers as he keeps talking.
"Is that it is probably the Nastikara."
"Oh, and I do hand him the sake."
He takes it and drops the fish and grabs it with both hands as, you know, child size, and takes a fairly large chug of the sake, hands it back to you, and he falls flat on his back.
"There's a large group of kappa just upriver, past the next village. But be careful, they're nasty, nasty kappa."
"Well, you know, sometimes I can be nasty too." "Thank you for your help. I hope you enjoy. Hopefully this is sake. And hopefully this isn't a hallucination. And I hope there is not a bunch of cap up there. Thank you for your time, Gon." And I will kind of tipsily walk back up.
He may have been sober for the fight, but not anymore.
You know, the adrenaline rush there. The rest of the night's fairly uneventful. And you're able to more or less get some sleep.
Drink a little tea and thump out.
Which you are running a little bit low on your tea leaves. So something you may want to keep an eye on.
Right. Maybe within the next few villages.
Yeah. Yugo Sojibo probably goes, lays down and passes out.
Yes. And Kunigaru has laid down and is just so exhausted, has gone straight to sleep.
He's actually leaning against a tree.
All right. So he's leaning against a tree, asleep. A few moments later, he opens his eyes and it seems to Kunigaru that it's like the middle of the day. It's light out. Where there was a campfire is just wisps of smoke. And the distance is all foggy and blurred out. No other being seems to be in the area.
I stand up. I'm in a dream. I know this has to be a dream. I'm going to follow it. Look around.
Visually, you don't see anything, but you start hearing the sounds of destruction, of wood breaking, of weapons clashing.
I will start heading to where I hear the fighting.
After a few steps, it's like each step takes you leagues across the land, and you find yourself in the middle of a village.
Whose lands?
The best you can tell is it is probably the Crablands. Everything seems to be larger than what it should be. You look down at yourself and your usual armor is gone. The calluses on your hands are gone. They're the hands of a child.
Start looking around, keep going towards the village.
A blast of fire scorches across and you can feel the heat as if it were true and real next to you.
Basically, you just turn and cover my face until the blast of heat goes away. Turn back, start to go around the edge of the village.
Buildings are collapsing all around, and you can hear the screams of people, but you don't see anyone.
Mom, Dad.
A hand of pure smoke reaches out of nothingness. Goma, Find us. Find us with your aunt in the Dragonlands. And you're pushed down onto your backside, your back hitting against a hard surface. You awaken in the morning in the same position that you had been all night.
As I sit up, I reach up to rub the back of my head.
Ow.
As it hurts a little, because I seem to have banged it during the night.
Why, hello. Wasn't that dream interesting? The spirits seem to be calling Guru north to the Dragonlands. But he has duties to attend to now. And Kappa to stop if a drunk Ganji Kozo can be relied upon. But moving on, the contest is still ongoing. Please leave an iTunes review by March 12th and email us that you have to be entered in a drawing to be a voice for a kami, yokai, or ona on our show. Please follow us on social media. Our Twitter is at SojPodRPG, that's SojPodRPG. Our Facebook is Facebook.com/SojPodRPG. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/SojPodRPG. It sadly isn't free to produce this podcast, so any little bit helps. And please, give us a review wherever you are listening to this. It helps new listeners find the show and lets us know that you real people are listening to the show. Now, let us find what the next village has in store for our Emerald Magistrates.
Kitsuki-san. Yoga-san, did you guys have any weird dreams last night?
I think so, if it was a dream.
What did you dream?
Akira?
Yes?
Is your tea hallucinogenic?
I haven't noticed.
Did you happen to slip me anything in my gourd?
No, I would not do that. You have your sake, I have my tea.
I had a very interesting conversation with actually, a very pleasant little fellow down by the river after our whole ordeal.
Okay.
He did happen to, you know, share a love of sake, but he also, in exchange, told us of an information that, you know, there is some nasty kappa up the river, so we should be prepared for that.
So you say you think you saw a being. What did it look like?
Small, floppy feet, hairy. Liked fish. By the name of Gon. Kind of cute, in an ugly sort of way.
By Yoga-san's description, do I get the impression that it is what type of being?
I'm going to have you do a Theology Earth. I'm not going to tell you the TN, so that you can get a void point.
I will go with 3 successes, 3 strife, and an opportunity.
Right. You are actually fairly familiar with these creatures. They are known as the Gangi Kozo.
You met a Gangi Kozo.
And what is a Gangi Kozo?
Gangi Kozo.
Gangi Kozo.
It is a... GM plays the Kuniguru for the moment to explain.
Kuniguru explains that the Gangi Kozo are sometimes known as the riverbank priest boys. They eat only fish and are sometimes mistaken for kappa, but they are benevolent water yokai. Some people think that they transform between being a kappa and being into a mountain yokai, but nothing's really known for certain on that.
Well, I will say he was a very pleasant little fellow and very talkative once he had... I shake my bottle and it's like very low at this point, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. He took a very large swig.
Sigh, reach over, grab another bottle, hand it to you, Yogo.
You notice that there's only about one or two more Sakazukis of sake.
We'll resupply at the next village.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's only a... What? Can we see the next village?
Like, yeah, it's about a half day.
Yeah. We're not that far. I got enough for them.
Yeah. I'm gonna need to resupply as well, but...
I'm sure the peasants and Heenan are done packing up camp at this point, because we're just standing around chatting.
And they also have a breakfast of rice and roasted fish for you.
I will eat it.
Yes.
It's a roasted mackerel, basically.
Sit down. Start eating the fish and rice. Look around for some, a little bit of spicing to put on there.
You hear a sniffing and then a flopping sound.
Why are you cooking fish?
Because it tastes good to us. Come, join us.
Because they don't know how to prepare sushi.
It's so much better when it's fresh and wriggling.
Fresh, yes. Wriggling, no.
That may be for you.
Oh, by the way, this is gone.
I kind of figured.
Yeah. So, see, I did not slip anything in your sake koozie.
I'm looking at the Heinen and the peasants, seeing if they're freaking.
No, this is... to them, it's like seeing, you know, a badger or something like that.
Wait, I mean, does that mean they're so used to this?
They're more or less used to it. It's something that they're not seeing every day, but it's something they would have seen a bit of going out to the rivers and such.
And he's not hostile, so they're not on alert.
Yeah, I think a reason why I wasn't sure what he was, because Scorpion kind of live in a mountainous area.
Mm-hmm. And unless you're traveling to riverbanks... You're not going to see the Gangi Kozo.
Tundra peasant, do we have any uncooked fish for our guest?
No, Samurai Sama. We caught them earlier this morning.
Pity. My apologies.
I'll take some more sake if you have it.
I hand him the rest of the bottle. Careful, you might have to go. Don't forget to... Save enough of yourself to go home. Lord knows I made that mistake a few times.
I think his home is... And I point towards the river.
Not that far.
It's just a hop, skip, and a plop into the water.
And yes, you're right, Yogo-san. He does seem to be a kindred spirit to you.
Thank you, thank you. Be very careful. The kappa have a loss. Very, very dangerous.
How far upriver till the kappa?
The bend. Just past the next village.
So getting to the village will be fine.
Thank you, Gon-san.
Thank you, thank you. Come back anytime.
I just might.
Yes.
And I think by this time probably everyone's starting to get finished up.
Well, camp has been broken for a while. They've just been waiting on...
Us. Stand up, stretch. So, shall we be... Heading off?
Yeah, and is Gon leaving?
He's plopped himself down and drinking, takes a bite of some fish he carried in, drinking.
I guess I will leave him. I guess we'll leave. I will say goodbye. I will bow. I will do the bow where I'm not sure of the station, but it's clear that, you know, it's an honorable bow, but I'm not quite sure of your station, so I'm just giving you this.
So I head towards the horses, because, well, I will still walk.
And actually, I'm going to give Yogo one honor for showing the deference and respect.
You have to be polite to benevolent spirits, because they may turn malevolent. And I'm kind of discussing that with them.
Always good to stay on the good side of the spirits.
You know, half-day ride, and you are approaching the next village. The village... of the dry wheat.
I wonder what's going to be going to get here.
Sake.
Well, at this point, probably soju if they're doing wheat.
As you approach, there are some Ashigaru standing at the edge of the village, and they stop your small caravan. Can I ask what the nature of your visit is?
We are here to collect the taxes.
We've also heard rumors that you may have some problems. We are all Emerald Magistrates. We are Shugenja.
Very nonchalantly, I put my hand on my jite.
Well, we're a distilling village, so I will require that any alcohol that you are bringing into the village be checked in. Although we distill, we are also a dry village.
That literally makes no sense.
It makes perfect sense. They distill and they sell. They don't drink.
We do not partake in our own product, and we don't wish for any to be enticed to pilfer our supplies. When you leave, you can have back what you brought.
This is going to be tough for you, Yogo-san.
So what would be, I know it's air, because I'm making kind of like trying to con them into thinking like, oh yes, I'm handing over all the sake, except for the bottle, the small sakigaki that I am hiding in my robes. So what is the check?
To hide the sakazuki, you're going to want to do, obviously, skullduggery.
And it's air.
They're being fairly watching. It's going to be a TN3.
Okay. Oh,
that disparaging sigh tells me that the Yogo did not get enough successes.
Well, I got enough successes. I just can't keep them.
That's right. He can only keep two dice, and none exploded.
So, what I got was a success, two opportunities, and a strife. I'm using one opportunity to make it look like I was pulling it out, not putting it in. Because I noticed he noticed me. I'm just going to use that one then. So I guess I'll just not keep that strife. I'll just keep the success and the opportunity and just use that. I'm being subtle with my lack of subtlety.
So did you want to learn their demeanor? And
No. It's just basically I'm trying to save face as much as possible. Like, oh, a samurai just disobeyed a tenant of a village. And that's kind of like, oh, no. No, sorry, it slipped.
All right, so all of your sake has been taken.
And I will add that 3 strife. Puts me at 8.
But you do get a void point.
Last time I was this sober was for my wedding.
It's why he's never sober.
I realize that.
We will go in. The fact that I don't drink sake, big deal. I'll leave that for the Hida.
Right.
You distinctly hear the sound of metal being forged.
Doing?
Oh, yes. And we should probably have... Ashigaru, is there a local shrine?
There are several shrines around this village.
Is there a headman or a daimyo in charge here?
We have a headman. Yes, he's at the main hall in town. He is overseeing the storage and manufacturing of our shoju.
Well, you to go do that. I have something to do.
Well, we should all greet the headman, and then we can...
I will go with you to introduce ourselves to the headman.
Very good idea. Always talk to the head guy when you enter their territory.
Yes, that's actually why I stopped Kuni from wandering off.
Precisely.
In the Great Hall, the smell of alcohol is heavy in the air.
It's that scene where, like, I'm floating away, and then, yoink,
chink. Hey, make it quick. Finish packaging up those bottles. We're running low on time. The magistrates should be here any day for their taxes.
Tap, tap, tap. You are correct. We will be here any day.
Quite soon, in fact.
I'm sorry for the inconvenience. I know you were to be our last stop, but as you can see, we have 2 Shugenja, and the Kami happened to lead us here for some other spiritual issues I believe your village will be having, or would be having.
Well, are you talking about the disappearances?
Yes. We believe we have a solution for those, and we thought it would be best to take care of that.
Well, the tax in Shouju isn't going to be ready for another day or two. If I have my people work overnight, we should have it ready for you in the morning.
It is fine. It will take us probably a day or so to remedy the issue that you're having with the disappearances.
If we need you to hurry, we will tell you, but right now...
Do not push yourself.
Thank you very much, Samurai-sama. You can stay at my estate. It's just on the other side of the village. You can't miss it.
And I will give a kind of a acknowledgement nod, not a bow, because is he a peasant?
In comparison, yes. Okay, he's a peasant with money.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah. I'm kidding.
He's not quite of the merchant class, because he doesn't actually go around selling. He actually puts in the labor, yeah. So he's a step above that.
So he's still a peasant, he's not a heenan, and he's not a merchant, but he's kind of this nebulous thing where everybody technically is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just people listen to him.
Because he's got money.
He's the headman.
He's got money. He can make good decisions, hopefully.
He's the headman. So, yeah. Again, give a nod.
I will meet you in the tea house. When you're done with whatever you need to do, we must discuss.
Yes.
Oh, and headman, if you could send anybody who knows the area or knows more about these disappearances when they get a chance. In other words, I'm implying I need somebody right now.
Yes, right away, Samurai-sama.
I leave. And I go to the smithy.
Splinters of Jade is a work of fiction and uses the Legend of the Five Rings role-playing game's 5th edition rules by Fantasy Flight Games. Splinters of Jade is not affiliated with Fantasy Flight Games. Our music is by Darren Curtis. More of his music can be found on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, as well as on his website, darrencurtismusic.com. Our logo was designed by Nick's Animalia. Audio engineering and editing was done by Brendan Thorson. And thank you for listening.